It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day here on the RBN Network from the studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com in Phoenix, Arizona, where it's a very nice today, nice and cool. You know, by this time, we're usually, you know, getting up close to 100, breaking 100. Oh, my goodness, 100. Where's my sweater? Global warming. Well, the economy is, I mean, dank. You know, this is, anybody that listens to this show knows that this is what we've been predicting, and it hadn't even started yet. And you'll hear me say a lot of times, they go, you know, the other shoe hasn't dropped yet. And I'm, you know, the reason I bring this up is so that, give you a word picture, the first shoe hasn't dropped yet. I mean, we just took the sneaker off to smell the smelly sock of the first shoe. I mean, I didn't drop that one yet. I mean, it's we have just begun to see the unwinding. Jack Gregson, economic columnist for Freedom's Phoenix, is coming in today, and he's battling traffic. As soon as he gets here, you know, we're going to get right into it. And I like having Jack on because Jack, that's all he does, is he follows the trends and what's going on. I'll tell you where Jack came from. Jack lived in an affluent community called Ahwatukee here in South Phoenix. It's like a enclave there in the mountains. It's a beautiful area. And he would listen to my show back starting in 03, 04, back in the early days. And he took the information that we had seriously because he had gone through it before in California. His family has a history. I mean, his family used to be big land owners in San Francisco area from generations ago. And there's a history that his family has gone through these cycles, and he paid attention. He got nailed in the California real estate, and he saw the same thing coming here. And we'd talk about it and detail it and so on, and he was one of the very, very few that took it seriously, and he sold his home at the peak. Then he converted it into, you know, precious metals and other assets and so on. And his wife works for the state. She's a teacher. And, you know, there's always a contention even amongst family members that, you know, you're always with the negative waves, man. You know, you don't want to think about it. I mean, human beings want, you know, be entertained, enjoy themselves and so on. And sometimes, you know, other people don't agree. But when the time comes, I don't know if you get really a, I don't know, what is it, validation? I mean, is it, do you get pleasure out of saying I told you so? You know, we needed to, you know, knuckle down and live an austere life for a few years and position ourselves to where we're doing okay. And you're thanked by anyone, or are you blamed? Because when you predict what's happening and it happens, oftentimes the messenger gets nailed. And my daughter, just my oldest daughter, she just celebrated her first anniversary. And I want to make sure that, you know, everybody understands what is going on. In that, when she first got married, I got her what? I got her silver. That was her dowry. So she's been paying attention. Wow. And what's happening to silver now?
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
I want to break free.
Got to break free here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Jack Gregson in studio to talk about the economy. Now I gotta get our clock synced up here. Lots of buttons to push, man. People come touch the buttons. Don't touch the buttons. One thing I want to make sure you guys understand, there are a lot of people that saw what was coming, and Jack was one of them, and myself and listeners to this show over the years since, it's been over 7 years. And what pleasure am I supposed to get? You know, I was just going, no, I told you so. I mean, I talked to friends. I give you a conversation. Last night we had some of our children were over and the grandbaby and everything, and we're just, you know, talking and everything. And one thing it came up was Facebook. And they're on my case, and you never this, and you always that, and you're not checking. I go, whoa. You know, what happened was one of the activists here was doing some linking of the Facebook with Twitter and Freedom's Phoenix and my run for LNC chair and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden they go, oh, you got a gazillion friends here that want to be your friend. Boom, all approved. And I go, oh, man, I've been avoiding that. Like, it's like an episode of South Park. No, don't get on Facebook. So it was so much traffic that I turned it over to a young woman or a husband that, you know, have been helping me. They're one of the activists here. And they've been taking care of it, responding if there's something I need to see, if there's something that's going on. And we started talking about the Facebook and how it's used by my kids and so on. And then I started going, tell us about your friends. You know, how's so-and-so doing? And how's this person been? And how's it, you know, yeah, I keep track of this. You know, it's kind of, you keep contact with everybody. It's a social network that continues relationships over your entire life. You know, from high school, college, work, family. And it's interesting. I mean, I like the, you know, like my family, if they're interested in it, my extended family, they, you know, my cousins and uncles and aunts and everybody, they, you know, they go on and kind of see what's going on. Okay, Ernie's got something going on. And then they'll see what we're interested in, the kind of stuff that's being reported, what people are talking about, and everybody shares some information and so on. And I asked my daughter, how are all these people? Because keep in mind, you know, we were the poorest of the school. We went to a private school. Phoenix Christian Junior Senior High, 7th to 12th grade, all four of my kids. And, man, you know, there's, you know, lots of W stickers on their Humvees, okay? And these are the 17-year-olds. So I was asking, you know, how are these guys doing? All their friends, they're not doing well. You know, a lot of the people, I mean, you know, architects and engineers and CEOs and, you know, people that have businesses heavy in the construction development and so on. And, and you know, there are few of them that are doing very well. They're selling all their toys, boats, motorcycles, yachts, planes. I mean, it's – and all of a sudden, we're not the poorest anymore. Families moving in with each other, selling their new BMWs. I mean, it is people are going bankrupt. People that lived in Paradise Valley that my kids used to go on vacations with and stuff, they're hurting, and they're not prepared. It's one thing that they're saying in the former Soviet Union and Russia and a lot of the former Soviet states and such up there. They're going, you know, America, you're not ready for this. You don't know how to be poor. You know, in Russia, they go, oh, we have a crisis. And they go, what, as opposed to yesterday? I mean, you know, it's, you know, what's the difference? It's, you know, they get a little bit of freedom, a little bit of opportunity, a little bit of, you know, deregulation of the black market. And all of a sudden, man, woo, we got opportunities. You know, so I'm, you don't know how lucky you are, boy, back in the former USSR. Well, now we got the EU-SSR, and there is Portugal is unveiling their crisis tax to cut the deficit. Spain's doing the same kind of thing. The European Union wants direct control over the national budgets. The EU superstate. Senior administrators of the European Union proposed on Wednesday that they be given unprecedented power to scrutinize the spending plans of countries before national parliaments vote on those budgets. Let me tell you what that's like. That would be like Washington coming into your state and telling your legislature what they can or can't do. And it's just more and more centralization of failure. We are, I don't know how to emphasize this. We're in trouble. This is going, I mean, you know, right now, my son came over and visited with his wife and my granddaughter last night, and we're up late talking and so on. And they they're stayed over, you know, just stayed tonight. We were late. And my son's in the backyard right now collecting all the chicken eggs, you know, and he's kind of, you know, he's a He-Man at 22, you know, and he's in there and he's, you know, get them chickens out, man. I don't want to go in there with them. They might flap or something. You know, they all freaked out. And, you know, they coax the chickens out with some feed and everything and go in. Ooh, there's like a dozen eggs. You know, go a couple of days, man. You got a lot of eggs. How long can that sustain people? You know, I started to understand once we got chickens how easy they are. You get rid of the roosters. I can tell you that right now. But they're loud. But what happens is I can see why throughout the world and through depressions and so on, the only thing that you saw that was a common denominator, chickens. Chickens convert like trash into protein. I emphasize that a lot. We did this as a learning process for ourselves and a lot of our friends and neighbors and other revolutionaries and so on. There's a lot of us, you know, we're negotiating eggs. And they go, oh, what do you got for these eggs? A lot of times just here, take them, you know, is kind of an outreach. But it's going to be vital that you have a steady food supply. Here in America, we imagine this. I read an article where they were going on about how you're going to be required to barter. We're going to be in a situation to where what if they said years ago that government – oh, I remember where it was. It was an article in the Surf City column. I think it was written by Jacob Hornberger or Sheldon Richmond, you know, one of those guys. And it was an article about what if – we had the central planning for food the way we do education. What if we had, you know, years ago, you would, or even now, you'd say, man, you know, food is so important that we need government rationing. Food is so important that we need the government to tell them what prices to charge. We need the government to determine what's stocked on the shelves, what's a waste of shelf space. I mean, you know, imagine all this central planning that would go in if the government got involved. They're going to start getting involved. I remember this during the Clinton administration. There was somebody that was hoarding baby formula. They were just buying it by the pallet full and so on, and going to Walmart and getting all this baby. And they start, and I don't know why this would be an issue. Who cares? You know, so make more. But the Clinton administration, oh, you're hoarding. We need anti-hoarding laws. Remember that? They're saying, you're getting too much toilet paper? Seriously? This was the beginning. They were trying to sell this to the American people. Well, it's so important that we have baby formula and diapers and this, that you can't let people get too much. In fact, we have a, you know, I'll see if I can find that. Renee, one of the activists here, called Homeland Security because one of the criteria for somebody might be a terrorist is if they buy too many diapers. You think I'm kidding? You know, they're hoarding. They're doing or something. So she called them up and said, hey, man, my neighbor, man, they're buying a lot of diapers. I want to report them. They're big diaper buyers. You know, I'll play that for you. It'll be fun. But this is where we're going. Whatever is happening, they're going to blame someone else and offer the government as a solution. It's so important. We need to be in charge of it. How's that worked out? I don't insist that you do anything other than survive this thing. We just need to survive. And I'm not trying to fix it. I stopped trying that. I don't know if I ever was trying to fix it. I just wanted to understand it. I just wanted to know the truth. Let me tell you what the truth is. What's happening in Europe right now is coming to the United States. It's going to be the same kind of things for the same reason. And all of a sudden, the European Union comes out and we want direct control over national budgets. And let me tell you what that means. That means taxing of the people. Where are the taxes going to be? You owe all this money. You want a loan? You want a loan? You need to do this. And it's going to be cut services and raise taxes. Greece, you want money? You need money? You want to keep your government intact? You want to get bailed out? Let me tell you what you got to do. That's coming. When we come back, Jack Gregson's in the studio, and we're going to go over just some of the figures, some of the numbers of what we can see here. How are you going to survive? I hope you are nice to your kids and your parents and your grandparents and your neighbors and your friends, because it's going to be personal relationships that get us through this. And we're going to try and help. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, Jack Gregson, a resident economic columnist on Freedom's Phoenix. He scares us all. You know, if you want to be scared, let's just go see what Jack had to say. Jack knows Jack about the economy. Oh, Jack, man, where are we at, man?
Ernie, I'm not going to hold back today. I'm going to be right up front. We are in serious trouble. We're being lied to on a daily basis. If you watch the mainstream media on TV, or you listen to it on radio, or you read it in Arizona Republic or whatever your local newspaper is, you're reading propaganda, all right? And I'm going to get down to the hard facts today. I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to give you the gut-wrenching truth. They're telling us that we've been out of the recession since July 4th of 2009. They've been trying to sell that for 9 months, and it's an outright lie.
You know when they stop telling you that we're not in a recession is when they tell you we're getting out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, no, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're not. Hey, we're just coming out of it. Coming out of what? I thought you said we weren't in it. You know, I've been through this before. We've had it. I'll tell you what. When I was producing for Charles' show, there was a Arizona State University professors. They did a, I think it was 06, and they had done a piece on the development here in Arizona and the real estate. Oh, yeah, no, we're stabilized now. It's all good. It's all good. And they get all these big names. They come in and try and BS everybody, and we go, really? So we asked them on the show. We had them all, and we had three people in there, and I think somebody else on the phone. And we brought them in, and we said, all right, give us what for? Blah, 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 blah. They have no freaking clue. They just, it's like bullet points that they read from Fox News or something. So it's, you can't believe anything the lamestream media, the media so last century, says. Who are they working for, Jack?
I don't know. I mean, I really wonder how stupid these people are. I'll give you, for instance, one of the main economists over at ASU, Carl Gunterman, is as clueless as the man is a moron. He comes out and he says that Valley home prices are stabilizing. It's like, no, they're not. They had an $8,000 home credit from the Obama administration. That ended the last day of April. Here we are on the 13th of May. Housing prices are already crashing because that support is gone. And
they immediately repriced.
Yeah.
You know, Donna's in real estate. As soon as that went in, and it happens, I'll give you an example. It's when they give subsidies for things like, I remember in the late 70s, early 80s, they had a program under the Carter administration to give credits for solar water heaters and stuff on your houses. Well, what immediately happened? The price went up the amount of whatever the credit was. You know, it's kind of like their down payment or whatever. You do away with the credit, boom, the prices go down. You know, this is, and they know this. They don't care. It's all about social and economic engineering and who gets what. You know, so this is immediately, and knowing this is going to happen, the housing prices just dropped. This is not a shock to anybody, right?
No, I mean, and you see the same thing on the national media. You see it with, I think her name is Catherine Rieger of the Arizona Republic. You see it with all the local housing analysts that housing prices are stabilizing. And nothing could be further from the truth. Everything that you see in the mainstream media is a lie. And I can prove it. I mean, if you look at the charts, if you dig deep for the information, you realize just how far down the rabbit hole we have gone.
When we come back in the next segment, it's a long 18-minute segment, and we'll just let Jack just go. I wanted to bring this up, you know, in just a couple minutes we got in this segment. I had Lou Rockwell, you know, from lourockwell.com on years ago, and he's, you know, head of the Mises Institute and all the Austrian economics. And it has nothing to do. Austria doesn't practice Austrian economics. It was because their economists were from, you know, Hayek and von Mises, and these guys are Austrian, so they call it Austrian economics. And it's just, you know, laissez-faire. You keep messing with it, it gets broke. I mean, you know, leave the free market alone. It regulates itself. And you don't get these violent swings and, of course, transfer of wealth from some people to others. And I asked Lou, and I go, how is it that you know whether the government's lying or not? I mean, you know, what is your criteria? He goes, oh, I always assume they're lying. And that makes me more right than I'm wrong. He goes, my average is really good. They open their mouth, they're lying, and then I come out way ahead on the accuracy factor. And I'm going, well, that's one way of looking at it. But, you know, how do we compare to what they're saying? What's the standard? What do you use? How do you know that they're lying, Jack?
Okay, they say that the recession ended July 4th, all right? And yet we've added a million people to the food stamp rolls over the past 60 days. And 2 or 3 days ago, we had the latest figures for the food stamp program. We have 39.6 million people on food stamps. Now, the recession's over. What do they expect for fiscal 2011, which is coming up shortly? 43 million people on food stamps. Why?
Because they don't want riots, that's why.
But they're telling us we're in a recovery.
Green shoots! Green shoots! You know what the green shoots are? It's the weeds in the driveway of all the foreclosed houses. That's the green shoots. Oh, get your Roundup. They just want to hide it. You know, no. Because they can't fix it. But they can hide it. Right up until they can't. Well, they can't in the EU. What about here in the U.S.? We're going to find out when we come back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Mother, there's too many of you crying.
Yeah, too many. Hungry. I'd be hungry. Bow. You know, this is what causes revolutions. They always say it's the economy, it's this, it's that, it's principle. You know, blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you what causes revolutions. Hungry people. And that's one thing they go, oh, heck no. Put them under a bridge, but give them a hot dog, okay? Because you want to get people all motivated, have them hungry. Man, all the civilization just goes right down the tubes. So the main thing, got to feed the peoples or reduce their number. I mean, it gets down to just basic math. I this is throughout history. Somehow people, we are so arrogant in this country to think we're immune for some reason because you've been convinced of it and you don't know why. We're immune. Why? Because MK. MK, yeah, America. America, we're Americans, okay? And I'm going, whoa, this is, and the rest of the world, you know, it's not going to be like, you know, 9/11 or Katrina or something, and people are going to go, oh, we want to help you. You know, and when we get offers of help, we always say, no. You know, when there's somebody down to go, hey, man, I'll take the Chinese wheat, whatever. What do you care? You know, it's got to go through you. Yeah, that's what they think. So what do? North Korea starts saber-rattling and everything, so we buy them off with food. What happened? You think the government goes, oh, here, people, and they give it to the army first. You know, it's poor people in rich countries supporting rich people in poor countries. You know, and it's just redistribution in whatever form. Why? Why? Because they can. You at the table? I don't want to be at their table. I don't want to be negotiating power. I want to ignore. I want to turn over the table. The money changers just turn it over. Get out of my father's house. There's a reason for that. There's a parable of that story. It's a, you know, it's a state and church thing. You know, it's not about, you know, you think there's a difference between the two. It's competition for your heart and soul and mind and body. And it's just, I want to rule you. And here's my excuse, whatever it is. You know, a law passed, a religious, you know, text, you know, whatever. I have the God-given right to tell you how to live because of something. Who gets to say no? And these children, is it their debt? How is it their debt? Those are the billboards we did. It's not my debt. And the little babies. Hey, man, I didn't do it. You know why? Why am I enslaved for the rest of my life for you scumbags that stole from me? Oh, and by the way, just last year, another $40,000 gets added to the backpack. You know, here's a rock. Oh, yeah, you got your checkbook on you, infant? So this is, we're going to let Jack go, man, because I want you to, you know, pay attention. You know, I mean, you might want to make a couple of notes. Go to Freedom's Phoenix right now and look at all the stories that are up there. This, it's imploding right, not later. Okay? Go ahead, Jack.
All right. About 25 years ago, I earned the nickname Switchblade because I could look people dead in the eye and I could bury the knife in them. And they would smile because I was giving them the truth, and I could back up what I was doing. I could make a promise, and I could back it up. I'm making you a promise now. Everything I'm going to tell you is the truth. It's ugly. It's raw. But you better pay attention because you're not going to hear this in the mainstream media. You're not going to get this out of the Obama administration.
Lamestream media.
Lamestream. Look.
I can't say it, man. I can't let it go by because they're so full of it.
Yeah, can I be really controversial, Ernie?
That'd be my guess. Just don't cuss.
Okay. All right. This is how bad it is. Last night I was listening to Catherine Austin Fitz on an interview.
Who's that?
Okay. She's from Solari.com. She was basically head of the housing administration in the first Bush administration back in the 89 to 93. Now, she saw this coming. She understood how evil they were and are, just like Ernie did 20 years ago. I want you to think about this. They're poisoning your water. They're poisoning your air. They're poisoning your food. Basically, they've broken into your house. They're raping your wife and your children. They put a pillow over their head. And you, as an adult male, the father, are sitting on the couch watching TV on your big screen. That's what's happening. If you're an American man or a woman and you're the head of the household or you are prepared to take care of your family, you better pay attention to what I'm saying because they are out to destroy your family, all right? This is not an accident. This has been done on purpose. There is no way around that, and I can back up every word I'm telling you. Now, I mentioned the fact that they've been saying that the recession ended July 4th, 2009. We've been told for 9 months that things are turning around. Yet, if you look at the information for the food stamp program, all right, we've added about 1 million to 1.5 million people in the past 60 days. We have 39.68 million people on the food stamp program. For fiscal 2011, which is the next fiscal year for the Obama administration, they're expecting over 43 million people to be on the food stamp program. How is that possible if we were having a turnaround? How is that possible if the unemployment situation is turning around? It's not. All right, now let's go to the unemployment situation. The other day they came out and they said that the number of people seeking employment had gone up. So people had gone back looking for a job. The unemployment number, line U3 on the Bureau of Labor Statistics unemployment's form, has risen to 9.9%. But the real rate of unemployment, all right, The real number is 17.1. And if you know of John Williams of ShadowStats.com, he believes that the number is well over 20%, which is a depression level of unemployment. Now, they say that the recession has ended. Yet, in April, they added 188,000 jobs that were fictitious through something called the birth-death model. They also added about 70,000 jobs for short-term census workers. There is no turnaround, right? They keep telling us that it's turning around. It's not. They keep telling us that housing is turning around. We have 7 million homes that are going to default. There are so many homes on the backlog to basically repossess that they've slowed down the repossession process, but still you have a record level of repossessions taking place right now. So we're going to have about 7 million foreclosures in the next 18 months, probably 3 to 7 million by the end of the year. Now, they say that we've had an uptick in consumer spending. Consumers are back in the marketplace. Why is that? Well, any real economist will tell you because between 7 and 20 million homeowners have stopped paying their mortgage. That is why we have a turnaround in the actual consumer numbers. There are certain stores where they have had an uptick in sales, but you've had twice as many where sales have actually gone down. Now let's talk about the budget deficit. One of the real things that clues you in to how dire our situation is and how close we are to the abyss is if you look at the rollover rate in Treasury notes. All right, earlier this year I posted an article saying that they expected there to be $3 trillion of short-term Treasuries rolled over this year. Yet, in the first 4 days of May, the Treasury Department rolled over $144 billion in 4 days. That's $36 billion a day. If you take that out and you basically extrapolate that over an entire year, all right, around 280 working days, all right, so you have 56 weeks in the year, 5 days a week, that gives you 280 days, and then you multiply that times $36 billion, you come out with $10 trillion in short-term treasuries that are going to be possibly rolled over. So the number is somewhere between $3 and $10 trillion.
Rolled over to who? I mean, who's buying? I mean, does the Fed just print money? Are they monetizing? I mean,
it's the Treasury and the Fed. Basically, the Fed is selling them. The Treasury rolls them over, from what I understand. But that's the rollover rate right now. That we're basically rolling over $36 billion a day.
And let me bring this up. This is something I was told by somebody I trust that knows what's going on and made gazillions of dollars when they knew it was going down. and I go, well, what am I supposed to look at? How do I know? And he goes, the 30-year Treasury yield. And he said, and I looked at it, and all of a sudden, it took a dump a couple days ago. And it just, the interest rate dropped on, this is, I'm lending money to the United States to buy their debt in Treasury bills. And I'm going, okay, I see that as a safe place to put it, as opposed to, I don't know, all the other places not safe, okay? Except you go to Dubai now and they have gold vending machines. You know? So I'm like, yeah, that's one way to do it. Well, what happens is if people are wanting to give you the money, well, you don't need to give them as much in interest. You know, it went as high in the early 80s, it's up to 15%. I mean, that was totally unsustainable. But they had to do it in order to get the money that they needed to continue function. Well, now they come up with new ways of doing it. You know, give them, we need more tools. We need more dials at the Fed. So they got all kinds of things to play with. Well, it took a dump from 4.9 down to 4.1 something, okay, which is a big cut in the interest that they were paying. Why? because people were transferring their wealth from the European Union, the stock market, wherever, everywhere else, and just putting it over in the U.S. debt as a some place that they figured they could at least have some money left over. It's relatively safe. Well, then it starts shooting back up again. Okay, it's back up to 4.5. But the thing that I'm told, he goes, when you want to know, it'll happen overnight, that they will not be able to fund the debt, or the rollover that you're talking about. Somebody has to pay it. And the only way they're going to pay it is if they are able to balance the gain with the risk. And the more they see that the United States cannot pay these debts back or won't, that interest rate will shoot up. It'll go 7, 8, 10, 13, 20. I mean, it'll just shoot up and that is the crack up boom or whatever that, you know, we hear about. It's going to get stupid. And all you got to do is look at certain things that they cannot hide. And they're rolling over this debt. They've created an enormous amount of debt, and now they got to refinance it. Well, some of the charts that you had up last week showed what was happening to Portugal, Greece, Spain. You looked at them, and they have not only do they have all this debt that they got to roll over, they're coming due, they got to get somebody to buy the bonds of debt again. They got a big, giant backlog of the next month and the next month and the next month and the next month. They can't. What did they do? $1 trillion almost they come up with that they admit to. And how much of that was the Fed that did it? The United States taxpayers funding Europeans' bailout. That's what Ron Paul's going. We need to get an audit on this. We need to know what they're obligating us to. Oh, heck no. No, you don't get that part. You know, they try to get through the Senate. Okay, we'll let you audit. You know what we did? You can yell and slap our wrists and everything, but not what we're going to do, because what we're going to do is going to really be big. So this is what's going on. This is what Jack is talking about. You have a credit card or a balloon payment on your house. You got to get somebody else to find. You can't afford it. You got to get somebody else to give you the money. You got to get another loan. You got to refi again. And there's no money. There's nobody there to do it. And even if they had it, they're not going to give it to you. You know why? I mean, you're going to be able to afford it? No. You ask, what are they going to do? What did Daddy Bush say? Read my lips, no new taxes. And then he raised taxes. Why? So that they would buy the bonds. You know, the people, and then gun control. What was that all about? You know, more people bought guns anyway. That was not what it was about. It was a psyop. It was all to convince the Pacific Rim and Europe that we got our slaves under control on the plantation. Yeah, see, we raised rates and they started to grumble, but then we just did gun control. We got it all. It's all good. Your money's safe here. That only works until when, Jack?
I don't think we have more than about 18 months, really.
That long, really?
I don't even think that long. It's
you're being concerned. You're hedging.
No, they're so good at hiding things, but day by day, it's getting much, much harder for them to hide. You look at, you know, you were talking about the money and basically the rollover rate. The other thing you can look at is what they call the M3 money supply. And back when I talked to you 2 months ago, here in the station, the rate was at about 5 to 6%. Now it was contracting at about 5 to 6%. Now it's contracting at a rate of 9% annually. It's never done that in the 40-year history of that chart. They've only had one other period when they had the money supply contracting, and that was about 1% back in 1992-1993, and it was just a blip. But this is basically, they've put the hammer to it. We went from growing annually at 18% back in December of 2007 when the recession hit, to now we're contracting at a rate of 9% annually. There's no money out there. That's why there's not going to be a turnaround. You can't have a turnaround if you're constricting the money supply. It's not possible.
Well, isn't that what we need to do? I mean, we need to, rein in this big, giant money supply of doing it, but how are they doing it? They're pulling it out of the system and putting it somewhere. The Fed has their own special account now that bears interest for the banks. It's like, we're going to give you bailout money that was with taxpayer money that they got to pay back so that you can put it in our account and get interest with more taxpayer money, and you didn't have to do anything. It's like an ATM for banks? Seriously?
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Jack Gregson, economic columnist for Freedom's Phoenix, is just sharing the fear. Jack, he always has something you want to say in the break. No, write it down, you know, because then you won't say it to you. So what were you going to say, man?
All right, Ernie, you really hit on it. You were talking about how that the Fed is loaning out money to the top banks like Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Merrill Lynch, and Citigroup. And then they, in turn, turn around and charge higher interest rates to the government. It's a guaranteed cash cow for those banks.
You know, when they did it, I had Mish Shedlock on, and we talked about it, and he did the math, and he goes, oh, it's – yeah, but Ernie, it's not. It's insignificant. It's not. It's only like $3 billion prop. This kind of cop, and they needed to be able to, you know, reduce the money supply. I'm going, what am I going to say, Mish? What am I going to say? It's that much. Now it created a number, a new dial that they can change the number. They will use. They just got a whole new bank of dials. It used to be that they just did money supply or something with interest rate. Now it's 15 gazillion different, and the money can be spent in Europe, other sovereign countries that are taking our sovereign out of my freaking wallet money and giving it to. And more worse than that, they're not even taking my money. They're just indebting my grandchildren. I'm going. This cannot sustain itself. You look throughout history, there has always been this chronology that you can follow, examples of what happens. The government goes bankrupt. And in their death throes, as the dinosaur is on its side coughing up blood, you just got to make sure you stay away from the talons and the tail. Just, you know, you just got to survive this thing. And there will be something else coming, and that's what this show and Freedom's Phoenix and libertarian philosophy, and that's what it's all about, is that when it goes, you want a situation to alter or abolish this thing so it doesn't happen again. And that's why I make such a separation between the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. They had nothing to do with each other. The Articles of Confederation was even between that. The Constitution was set up to make us this European Union, you know, this central plan. And it was the anti-federalists of the day, like Patrick Henry and Thomas Paine and Jefferson, these guys going, no. They're gonna limit all this, you know, crap you can do with the Bill of Rights. And they've been, that's antiquated. It's just a GD piece of paper anyway, and blah, 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 and we got the shiny badge and always available gun. You know, so when we come back in the next hour, we're going to talk about, you know, how it's going to really affect you. You know, what kind of plans are you in? Where you need to get your money out of and put it into what? Things are getting bad. You know, give us some other scary news in the last couple of minutes here of this hour, man.
Okay, let's talk about the April budget deficit. April is when we have all the tax returns going, you know. Basically, people are sending their taxes into the federal government. All right, we had the biggest federal budget deficit in history in April of 2010. Biggest April budget deficit. Let me give you the numbers. Remember, we're supposed to be in a turnaround. All right, what happened to revenue? Revenue was down. Tax receipts were down 7.9% from April 2009. How about individual returns? We should see a turnaround there, right? Heck no. They were down 21.3% from 2009.
What, reported income or something?
Yeah.
20-something percent.
21.3% below what they were in April 2009.
You know, this is, I don't know where they're getting their information from. And a lot of people are screaming. You know, they're screaming that this isn't so. They give you all the information. But they just keep reporting green shoots. From what? Who's doing this? We'll talk about it when we come back.